Welcome to Geek Nerd Tech on Black Hollywood Live. Today is Apple iPhone X Day. Stranger Things is blowing up, and also Facebook, Twitter, and Google go to Capitol Hill. Let's go.
You are tuned in to Black Hollywood Live's Geek Nerd Tech.
Yo, how you doing, guys? Welcome to Geek Nerd Tech on Black Hollywood Live, the show. We break down tech news, nerd culture from a black and brown geek perspective. I'm joined, as always, by my man. Akili Shine. Just me. Akili is dealing with some personal things today, work and otherwise, but he'll be back next week. Not solo, but with me. Hopefully, if I'm here, I think I should be here next week as well. Anyway, welcome to the show. Yes, yes, yes. We busy week. We have so much to talk about, and I love talking, so this should be good to talk in this way. We got Stranger Things blowing up. We also have Mindhunters blowing up on Netflix. Netflix numbers are out. Xbox One dropped. iPhone X is dropping. Everything's dropping, except for Apple sales, which are through the roof. So let's start with Apple. Because, you know, sometimes we go Facebook heavy, sometimes we go Google heavy. This show is going to be probably a little Apple heavy because it's really all about Apple. First thing, and the first thing I do want to say, as always, for the last few weeks, we've been talking about our friends at Vizio, and the show is actually brought to you by our friends at Vizio with their wonderful, wonderful televisions and all their beautiful flat screens. They also have added a soundbar to their repertoire, so you can have crystal clear audio sound that brings movies to life and your television shows to life, and it's this room-filling sound. These wonderful soundbars, and we'll talk to you about them later, but thank you, Vizio, for bringing us this wonderful show about technology and movies and cool stuff. Makes sense. iPhone is here. iPhone's here. The iPhone X. People are going nuts. I mean, it seems to be pretty divided, in my opinion. Like, there's this whole course of people who are like really have this backlash of like $1,000. Screw you, Apple, and your $1,000. It's like, I don't know. I'll just get my Android. Who needs it? I'll just keep my own, you know, my own 6S, whatever it is. And, you know, I thought that this would be some sort of huge backlash, but not according to the sales. The sales for this thing are already sort of through the roof. In fact, Apple's on pace to have a record holiday quarter, and it's in Wall Street. People are eating it up, and it's wonderful. They're up 8%, or 9% rather. They're going to do like somewhere between $84 billion and $87 billion for a quarter, which is just insane. Now, a lot of people may say that, you know, yeah, it's easy to jack up the sales for the quarter when you jack up the prices for your phone every quarter. Every quarter, your phone prices go up, but you know, at least anywhere from 10% to 25%. But, you know, Apple's not crying, and we're still buying, and that rhymed. So I haven't got the iPhone X yet, but as Akili and I talked about, I think Akili is one of those guys who's off the iPhone X. I actually am kind of on it. I don't know if it's because I'm an Apple loyalist. The reviews are pretty solid. The dog ears don't seem to bother everyone. So I don't know. I'm personally in on the iPhone X, but we'll see. You know how that plays out for everyone else here. And also these wonderful commercials that are out. These marketing campaigns for the iPhone X are also spectacular. I still love them as much as I love anything else. One of the things also about Apple is people complain about is these long lines. I mean, when they drop a product at the Apple store, at your Verizon store, at your Sprint store, even at your T-Mobile store, you get huge lines waiting for an opportunity to get the new Apple product, be it the phone or whatever it is. So the iPhone X is no different. This is not just here in the States. This is literally a worldwide drop. So in the UK, in Germany, in Australia, there are lines around the block usually. And one industrious kid, and I don't know why more people don't do this, in Australia, said he wanted to sell his spot in the queue. Like he got a spot in the queue and then posted it online and said, hey, I'm here. If you want this spot, give me some money. And he got $500 for it, $500. For that, which is pretty good. He got a lot of messages, and I don't know if it went to the highest bidder, but people want the phone so bad that they're willing to pay $1,000 and another $500 on top of that to not wait in line. I guess if you have disposable income, that's, you know, that's really not that bad. Also, back to Apple and Tim Cook, we talked about their record quarter they had, which is insane, record holiday quarter, but they're really they've going to cross a $900 billion mark today, which is like they're running towards $1 trillion, which is insane. $1 trillion in sales. I mean, I think that that's where these mega companies are going, and you know, Apple is just making money on hand over fist, and it has a lot to do with their global expansion, has a lot to do with the prices being hiked up, but more importantly, it has a lot to do with all the services they offer. This is a sort of underreported story at Apple, but you know, most of the sales, the money that Apple's making actually comes from their services. We're talking about the App Store and all the, you know, Apple Pay, all these various things, you know, what you pay for your storage. You know, every time you get an iPhone and you're in this ecosystem, there's a lot of stuff that you pay for that you don't even think about in the ecosystem, especially through iTunes, whether it's Apple Music, which they get me for $9.99, whether they get me for storage, they got me for another $12.99 on that. They get me for, you know, whatever movies and things I'm doing. And of course, they get me for these apps that we have to have for our phone that Apple gets a piece of. So I think it's a rather underreported story that Apple is making way more money on its iPods. I mean, way more money on the services than its Apple Watch, iPods, TV, you know, iPads, all that combined. That's where it's at. So when you think that Apple's raising the prices on phones and really jacking us, they're really not making that much money on that stuff. Because the hardware business is really not that great of a business to be in. Like, you know, it's the software, as Bill Gates knew all along. And so I think the irony here is that, you know, Apple is actually, you know, taking sort of a cue from Bill Gates and really laying heavily into the software sort of portion of it and making a ton of money on it. Not to say that they're not still making money on hardware, but, you know, that's what they're doing. When I have my Apple TV, I plug it in and I watch all my movies and all my TV shows. I want to have like a movie, wonderful theater experience. And a way to do that is with our friends at Vizio. Vizio is already known for their televisions, as we know. They have these wonderful dynamic TVs, but now they have these sound bars. These sound bars are actually powered by DTS technology. It gives you this amazing, extraordinary sound experience. I mean, if you go to the theater, you'll see DTS. I wonder what that is. It's actually the technology delivery system under which the digitally the sound is delivered to you, which a lot, and Vizio is one of the first people to actually do that in your home, and it's actually fantastic. It's a fantastic experience. Vizio is not just known for TVs; they're actually known for sound as well. So check that out from our friends at Vizio. That happens. I want to shift gears a little bit, get out of the consumer world and go into a little bit of the political world. You know, we have a couple of things. We had Facebook and those guys, Facebook, Google, and Twitter actually go on Capitol Hill and testify, which I'll get to that in a second. But, you know, what's been known from Facebook especially is not only are we finding out that sort of the extent to which Russia did hack, I mean, we were involved in a campaign and how many ads they did buy, you know, there were, you know, 3,000, there's thousands and thousands of ads bought. But what we're knowing now is the sophistication of these. And they weren't just anti-Hillary, anti-Hillary, anti-Hillary. And they were actually both. And it was really, I think that people, the misnomer here with this is that, you know, although the Russians, you know, it said that they did want to try to elect Trump and not Hillary, because, you know, they hate Hillary, as most foreign bodies and folks. But this is actually an attempt to sow discord with an American. So they just wanted to get everyone fighting and talking. So they did as equally as much sort of these visceral ads towards anti-Hillary ads and then anti-Trump. And then not just that, they did these sort of like, you know, racial dog whistle ads about, you know, these fear targeted ads that they did. They also did this sort of like, the liberals are going to take away your guns. They did like, you know, the conservatives are going to do this to you. And it was really interesting. Like, you know, they riled up coal miners and gun rights groups and African-American political activism and the rising of Muslims in the United States. I mean, all of these hot button issues, they were on all sides of them. And it sowed an amazing amount of discord and sort of maybe created the environment that we have now. And it's really interesting to see the sophistication of what the Russians were doing. And it's not just about like we're hacking the election. It's we're going to try to just ruin the fabric of our democracy. So I don't know. It's something to think about as we go into 2018, you know, when we are all on the web and sharing and looking at these stories on Twitter and Facebook and YouTube. We have to sort of realize, really take a step back and look at sources and look at the sort of the where they're coming from and also the tenor and tone of these and not just get riled up. Anyway, that's my public service announcement. So years ago, in 2000, we had an instance where all the news media, all the major networks, had the election wrong. There was such a race to be first, you know, in calling a winner that in 2000 election, most of the networks called Florida for Al Gore, making him the president-elect. And then one outlet had it, and another outlet had it, and another outlet had it, and then they were saying Al Gore's our president, and that was that. Well, it was wrong. It was wrong. And this is sort of what we talk about in media. The race to be first should not exceed the race to be right, you know? So all of those, when that happened, they had to call that back and then recall it, say Florida's still up in the air, and then recall it again for President-elect George W. Bush, who went on to be our president, you know, and we all know that story. But what's significant about that is all of those heads of the networks, the highest level of heads of networks, went to Capitol Hill. They were called to Capitol Hill voluntarily, and they all stood up and sort of said, we got this wrong. This was bad. We're going to vow to make sure that we are right. Supersedes being first. And it was kind of a big moment in media history. Well, I bring that up because we have a very similar situation happening now where, because of the Russian interference, we have the heads of Twitter and Facebook and Google going to Capitol to do the same thing, except there's a slight difference. And this is, I don't know if this is Silicon Valley culture. We're not seeing, you know, Zuckerberg and the CEO of Twitter and Google up there. We have lawyers. We have all three of those guys sort of sit there lawyers, which is really interesting. And one guy's the head of security and lawyer, but I don't know how I feel about that. I feel like they're there to face the music, but it's really, you know, putting a face on PR-wise to have Zuckerberg and the rest of these guys up there is probably not something that would be the PR move. But what's going to come out of this is, look, Akilah and I debate this all the time. This isn't about, these guys are no longer just, Facebook isn't we're just a service where people share information. They're a media company. They're acting like a media company. They're so much so they're developing original content to put out to the world. They're not a news organization, but they are a media company. And so they have to sort of be treated that way. Twitter is now a media company as well. They're doing deals with Amazon, with the NFL, and they're having shows, and they're doing all kinds of different things. And it's the same in Google. I mean, Google's a bit of everything, but with proliferation of YouTube television and YouTube in general and YouTube Red, Google is actually in Google Play and Google Assist and all this other stuff. Google is also a media company. So these guys got to start taking responsibility and start adhering to some of these rules when it comes to politics and equal time and all that good stuff. So just, you know, just throwing that out there. That you know, Capitol is really putting it to these guys, and as they should. And so we'll see how this all plays out. But you know, it's something that should be looked into. I just wish that you know, they would have the head CEOs of the companies as the CEOs of the media companies did 16 years ago when they had this issue. But, you know, I guess it's a different time. Speaking of a different time, we're at a time right now where you can have excellent sound in your house from our friends at Vizio. And, Vizio is here. They're sponsoring our show, Geek Nerd Tech, and they're a fantastic, fantastic company. I love them. They have a new soundbar. It's a 36-inch 2.1 soundbar system. It's actually CNET's Editor's Choice. It's actually the first soundbar to receive 5 stars. The first soundbar ever to receive 5 stars sounds like, I can't believe that that's true. And it is, because you have all these other soundbars in the market that were first in a long time. Others, and I won't even mention who they are, but there's others who people know and have been using forever. And then Vizio comes and drops the mic, and it's like, pow, here we are, and they get 5 stars. So congratulations to Vizio, and it's great because it's a wonderful soundbar with the DTS technology, and you should check it out. Christmas is coming. Holidays are coming, I should say, and Christmas. So speaking of Twitter, as I was talking about earlier, Donald Trump, man, our man D. Trump, like who's the Twitter Meister. It was all going down. He's been, you know, making policy on Twitter and doing a lot of Twitter tweeting here and there. Well, there wasn't a dark 11 minutes where it looked like he didn't have an account. Like everyone was if you Googled or you went to check Donald Trump's account, it was like it's no longer there. And apparently it was a rogue employee who's like, I've had it. F this. I'm shutting Trump down. Now, I know this employee is obviously disgruntled and gone and fired, I'm assuming, but I wonder what else happens to this guy. I wonder if, you know, Donald Trump's not known for his leniency. I wonder if there's, I wonder what can happen to this guy legally. No one's really talking about that. Is it just like he's fired and shunned and that's who he is? God, you don't mess with the president's Twitter account. It seems like, I wonder what kind of laws there are with that. We talk all the time that the technology curve is always far ahead, much further than the legal code. So shutting down the president's means to communicate to people via Twitter may not be a law on that, but I feel like, I don't know, there's something back there. We'll soon find out. But yeah, Trump was off Twitter, which I think was probably a good thing, but he's off for 11 minutes, and yeah, that was that. Netflix, man. Netflix is still doing a damn thing. They're on a huge, race to get. They want at least 50% of their programming to be original programming. So they're spending billions and millions of dollars to make that happen over the next few years. And it seems to be working because they dropped 2 wonderful shows, Mindhunters and Stranger Things 2. Which I love, and their views are pretty solid. There's some dissenters to Stranger Things too. I don't know why. I'm talking to you, Andy Greenwald of The Ringer, but like, I don't know, man. There's it to me, and for my money, it's fantastic. I think it's great. I love it. But what's happening? Oh, before I get into Stranger Things itself, the usually very secretive Netflix has been very, has not really been forthcoming about who watches, how many people watch. They're slowly but surely starting to cherry pick and deliver some things out, but they did, Nielsen got its own sort of Netflix data for there. You know, Nielsen is really trying to measure, really trying to do some progressive things and measuring things. And according to Nielsen, through some video on demand measurement, they said that about 15.8 million viewers. And 11 million of them, 1849, watched the premiere of Stranger Things. That's a big number. That's a big number to watch a premiere for something that will be sort of streamed long-term and watched over and over again. And they said, over almost a half a million people, 361,000 people, streamed the entire 9-episode season within 24 hours of release. I was close to doing that. I did stream it. I streamed it over a couple of days. But that's really, really interesting and really, really good numbers. So, I don't know. So, the numbers came out, and look, 13.7 stream chapter 2, 11 chapter 3, 9 chapter 4, 8 chapter 5, 6, 5, 4, and 6. So, it definitely sort of went down as we went. But we're talking about the first night. So, these are still insane numbers. So, Netflix is... looks like ads advertisers are kind of doing the damn thing. So good for them. Today is Friday the 3rd, and that means for Marvel and the Marvel Universe that Thor Ragnarok is here. We get a lot of sort of mixed storylines in the Marvel Universe. We get the, I think we get a little bit of the origins of the Planet Hulk storyline. You get a lot of the fall of Asgard and all this cool stuff that we're going to get in a movie. The tone of this movie supposedly is very much more along the lines of what you would see in Guardians of the Galaxy as opposed to what you would see in a Thor movie. Those Thor movies were heavy in Norse mythology and, you know, Kenneth Branagh directed one and everyone's very serious and talking in these, you know, in this almost Shakespearean accents. This one seems fun. Like it seems a lot of fun, and all the reviews in are seem to agree that this is actually a great movie, a lot of fun. I, believe it or not, did not have the opportunity to go and see it at midnight last night like I normally would. I don't know if this means I'm slacking in my old age. I don't know what this means for me as a consumer of pop culture, but it is Friday, the day of, and I have not seen a new Marvel movie. So I'm going to try to make some time to get to see that today if possible. We'll see. We'll see what's out there. Thor, as I looked it up, Thor is at 93%. That is huge. Wow. That's coming off of a kind of a lackluster Halloween, and the Halloween movies were kind of terrible. Jigsaw, 31%. Oh, Tyler Perry's Boo 2. 7% of people liked it. Surprise. Geostorm, the Jurassic movie, like 15% on Tomatoes. So, I don't know, man. It's been a tough one. Ooh, and Suburbicon, 27%. Sorry, Clooney. Good for Thor Ragnarok, and I think it's going to be a big movie, and it's going to do well. And before we get out of here, I want to also remind our folks that Vizio, thank Vizio for being our sponsor. You can earn unbeatable savings when you combine the best deals of the year in displays and soundbars. So if you get the soundbar, you get the TV, you put them together, it is an amazing sort of deal. Great for the holidays, great to check out. Again, that soundbar, 36-inch, 2.1 soundbar system, is something great to have. So thanks a lot, Vizio, for doing that. Last but not least, the Xbox One is here. It's the world's most powerful console because it's bringing you true 4K. I am very excited about this. The Sony consoles, PlayStations are fantastic. They got some original, games in the PlayStation, but you got your original games in the Xbox, such as Halo, and Forza and some others. But you also have The Last of Us and Uncharted over here on PlayStation. I think the thing for me is to get them both. But I have the Xbox One. I'm wondering, do I want to upgrade to the Xbox One S? And I don't know why I would, but other than it is smaller and it's faster and I'm an Xbox loyalist, so I'll probably do it. I think that's it for me. That's all I got. I can't believe I rambled and talked my way through this entire show. But I did. Without Akili, I knew I loved to talk. I knew it's possible. That's all I got. That's all I got here for Geek Nerd Tech. My name is Joe Braswell. You can find me on Twitter and Instagram at Joe K. Braswell. Akili Shine, you can find him at Akili Shine on Twitter and Instagram. And we will see you next week. Peace.
From executives Kevin Undergaro, Dario Christen, Tiana Hobson, and the entire VHL staff, we would like to thank you for supporting Black Hollywood Live, the first online broadcast network dedicated to African-American entertainment. For questions and comments, contact us. Info at blackhollywoodlive.com. Like us on Facebook, tweet us, or Instagram us at VHL Online. And I am the official voice of Black Hollywood Live, Scipio, Instagramming, at KingXOBay. Thanks for tuning in.
Hollywood Redefined.
The views expressed here are those of the host only and do not necessarily reflect the views of BHL or its owners or principals.